Hey everyone, thanks for joining me. You are listening to Grow an Online Business, where we go over all the tips, techniques, and advice you need to grow an online business for yourself. And we are right in the middle of our four-part series on the four types of consumer behavior. So we're talking about customers and what they do when they're buying, and then how you can use their behavior to increase your sales. So anyway, we will get to that in just a moment. We'll be right back. Okay, so let's dive right in. First things first, let's take a look at what has happened this last week in the business. So looking at the website, let's see if it's grown or has anything changed. Boom, users. It looks like my users went up 148%. What? Okay, that's pretty crazy. That's strange. Okay, so it is definitely showing that yesterday I had a strange spike in people. It's showing like 12 people, 11 people, 15 people, 24 people. And then oddly, on Wednesday, I had 54 people, which is an increase of 390%. And then yesterday, it says 79 people, which is an increase of 203%. Okay. Wow. So not entirely certain what that's about. A whole bunch of people made it to... can't tell. So direct, it says direct 78 social one. So it looks like they came directly to the website, which is interesting. I'm going to look at Google Analytics 4. So G4 shows no anomaly again, no anomaly on Saturday. It actually says I had two users on Saturday. So it looks like there's some discrepancy between the Universal Analytics and then G4, so I guess that is what it is. Let's take a quick look here on Google Search Console and see if that shows any strangeness. No, it does look like my search impressions are going up a little bit, but overall not too bad. It just shows here 60 clicks, 12,000 impressions. I'm getting a click-through rate of 0.5, so super not great. That's over the last 3 months. So let's change it to 1 month. Boom, my click-through rate still 0.5, 1,043 impressions. My average position is 49.7, and it shows I'm ranking last week for 152 words. So I don't know, it's kind of jumping around a little bit. It's going up and down. We'll kind of see. It obviously has not completely stopped being so so sporadic. So I'm going to let that continue to settle before we figure out what is going on. So let's get back to the topic that we are going over this week. So this week, and for the last few, we've been talking about the four types of consumer behavior. Week one, complex behavior. If you haven't listened to that one, jump back and do give that one a listen. Week number two, dissonance reducing buying behavior. Check that one out if you haven't. And this week we're talking about habitual buying behavior. So habitual buying behavior. So what does that mean? Well, it very much means what it sounds like. So people are in a habit of buying. Now, it doesn't mean that they have a buying habit and they're like, oh, that's my thing. I love to buy stuff. Think of it more like when the consumer doesn't necessarily have a preferred brand. Okay, there's no brand loyalty. Think about it like this. When you go to the grocery store every week, you buy your favorite kind of bread and you throw it in the basket. Now, sometimes it might be a specific brand, but if they don't have that brand, you're like, well, gotta have bread. And so you'll just buy whichever brand looks closest to yours, or that might, maybe you want a little bit of a change. You're like, man, I love sourdough bread. Oh, look at this one, super crusty sourdough. And so you'll buy it because it is sourdough. So habitual buying behavior is every single week you're going back buying the same thing, and it really doesn't matter about brand loyalty. So how can you use that to grow your business. Well, if you know that your product or your service is something that people buy on a consistent basis, then you're probably in that market anyway. And if you are, you need to probably do a little something to set yourself up to be noticed. Okay, a lot of brands will do this. In fact, you'll see cereals. You know, people are like, oh yeah, I eat cereal. I buy cereal every week. But you know, I don't always want the same kind of cereal. So they'll buy maybe whatever's on sale. Maybe something that has somebody on the box that they like. Maybe they'll buy a cereal that has a specific thing that they're targeting. Like, oh, hey, buy 4 boxes of this, get a free book or a download or a whatever. So they'll use little enticements to get you to buy it. Oh, this, you know, this cereal specifically here, if you buy it, it gets you box tops, which helps you send, you know, kids books to school or something, whatever box tops did. That was pretty popular for a little bit. But that's how you use habitual buying behavior. You know they're going to be there. You know they're going to buy it. So what do you have to do? You got to get yours on that shelf, right? You have to be where the buyers are in that arena, in that market. So wherever they're at, whatever they're doing when they're buying, whatever product it is that they're buying, you need to be there. Okay, this is why when new brands come out, let's say new brands of toothpaste or new brands of meatballs, whatever it is, they'll go and stand at the store and say, hey, you want to check out our meatballs? Hey, you want to try one of these? You got to try one of these. And so when you try it, then you're like, you know what? That's not bad. Give me a box of that. Give me it because I don't care who makes my frozen meatballs. I just want frozen meatballs. And hey, these are pretty good. I'll try yours. Why not? So giving them a free sample, giving them a travel size, giving them some sort of enticement to try your product may be just enough to get that sale. Now, you need to have an outstanding product or something that they'll remember to get them to buy it again the next time. But you can get a pretty good shot of getting the habitual buyer to buy what they just saw, right? So a lot of times you're like, oh man, I don't even know what it's called, but I know it's the blue one with the red thingy on it that's got the, you know, whatever. You'll describe it, you'll see a picture of it in your mind. This is why so many copycat brands try and look the same. So you'll see a store brand and their box like looks almost identical to a NAM brained. Yeah, I am kind of NAM brained right now. A brand name product, and so it'll match, hoping that you'll just grab it on accident and buy it instead of the brand name that you went to buy. And it's not a matter of you even buying that specific brand for the fact that it's that brand. It's just out of habit, you know, you grab the blue box with the red thing on it. And so then they'll go, oh, let's make a blue box with a red thing on it, very similar. And then hopefully they'll just grab it by accident and not even notice that they've made that purchase. Or maybe they'll buy it, see that it's, 50 cents cheaper, and then start continually buying our product for us over and over. So that is how you use habitual buying behavior in order to increase the sales of your product or to increase the likelihood that people will buy your product. So you know they're buying, you know they have a habit of buying, and you know that they're not super specifically brand loyal. It really only works for something that they're buying on a consistent basis. Okay, and it doesn't have to be every week. It could just be every single time they need it, they buy it. In fact, here's an example. There is a product, and I'm honestly not 100% sure what it is. I thought it was Corky's, but maybe it's Corey's. Maybe it's Comey's. Like, I'm not even sure, but it's a snail... little snail tablet things that's in a shaky box, right? I know that it's a box, sort of the shape of a cereal box, a little bit smaller, and it's got a little pull tab thing on the side, and you shake it and the little pellets fall out and then the snails die, right? So I know that. And I know that I think there's a snail on it, on the box, and I think it's kind of a brownish, maybe, color box with yellow on it, but I wouldn't know. So if somebody else comes out with one that looks very, very similar and calls it Comey's or Corey's or Corky's, I think it's Corky's. Either way, whatever it's called, if it looks generally the same, I'm going to be like, yeah, that's the one I get and then buy it. And I, because I buy it like once every couple of years, it isn't like I have it a ton, and I don't need it a ton because it works really, really well to kill the snails. So I just buy the product, I shake it on the flower beds, and then stick it back into the shed, and then it's in the shed for however long it needs to be, several months, until I start noticing the little sparkly snail patterns and stuff on the concrete, and I'm like, oh man, the snails are back, and then I shake some more stuff on it. So it'll usually last 5, 6, 8, 7 shakes. So I don't know what that breaks down to. Either way, I only buy it every couple of years, so I really am not going to spend the time to like memorize what brand it is. I know there's a snail on it. I know it's that color. I know the general shape of the box, and I know it's Cory's or Corky's. So that's what I'm going to buy. So if somebody else comes out with a similar product, they're going to get my business, especially if they're where I am when I think about it or remember to buy it. Okay, so that being said, I have bought it at Home Depot because I've seen it on the shelf when I'm buying. And I'm like, oh shoot, that's right, I also need the snail stuff. And then pop, I pop a box into the basket. But I have specifically gone out to the shed, not found it, and thought, oh my gosh, I need some of that stuff. And I've come in, looked it up online, and then bought it online and had it shipped to my house. So I don't know. I guess the point is you need to have it available however people are buying it. So if you know that people are buying this shaky snail stuff more often at a big box store, then you need to be on the shelf. If you know that they're buying it now because everybody's buying everything online and it's such a pain in the doggone butt to go into the store and buy it, you might want to have it online and have a picture of whatever it is that you're selling to make it real easy for people to find. And word to the wise, use this as an example, especially for these habitual buyers, is because they're not so specifically brand loyal. They're not typing in Corky's or Cory's, Comey's, whatever it is. They're not typing that in. What are they typing in? Boxes of snail killer that you shake. Shake boxes of snail killer, right? So when you're going to target those customers that are buying your product, stop trying to rank for the name of your product. Stop trying to rank for Cory's snail killer or Corky's snail shaky stuff or whatever it's pellets. Don't be that. Target what a ding dong customer like myself is going to type into Google and look for. That's the word you want to rank for when you're ranking for your product. What is somebody who doesn't remember the brand name going to be typing in? Snail pellets that come in a box. So you need to write an article or multiple articles called the best snail pellets that come in a box and then rank for it. So when they type in snail pellets come in a box, boop, your product is popping up. And check that out. Okay, do that search now before you even write anything. Do that search on Google and see what comes up. I'm not telling you to do it about snail killer. I'm just saying do it about your product. So think about what your product is. What is it that you're offering? Your product, your service, your thingy-ma-bob, whatever it is that you're selling in your business. If it is cheeseburgers, then don't, if you're calling it the WAP burger, don't look it up and don't try and write the best article or get people to, when they type in WAP burger, then it comes up, my WAP burger comes up. No. Write for the best cheeseburger or the best cheeseburger with Thousand Island or whatever that makes your WAP burger special. If you're a plumber, then you need to be like, okay, are people looking up best plumber in, Bakersfield or best plumber in Tallyville? They're probably not looking for the best plumber, right? They're looking for a plumber who's open. So have your hours down. Or a plumber to do what it is they need done. So put things on your website, on your in your social media. Put things that people will be looking for. How to install a faucet, how to unclog a drain, how to change a hose bib. Put in the things that people call plumbers for. Okay, water heater leaking. So put that. Somebody might be like, oh my God, my water heater's leaking. I wonder if that means I need a new one or if that means I can fix it. write an article about water heater leaks. Write five ways that water heaters leak and when you need to buy a new one and when you can fix it yourself. And if you do that, then the people who want and have a water heater and then read your article, they'll see it. It's most likely something they're not going to be able to do anyway. But write the article so that they go, man, they're giving me all this free information, helping me fix it. Oh, no, it's not that little gasket. Nope, it's not that little thing. Nope, it's not the pressure relief valve. Nope, it's not the water intake thing. Oh, shoot, it is. It's coming out of the tank. Yep, I need a new one. But they'll at least now have made a responsible, educated decision that they need a new one and not feel like they're getting sold a bill of goods by some sneaky water heater salesman, you know, that comes in and, oh, you need a new one, right? But somebody who you've given them all the information, all the places to check, to see, to make sure they already know they need a new one now. And then you could even go over the pricing and say, you know what, it should cost you between, you know, $1,200 and $1,800 to have one put in, a really good one put in by a knowledgeable plumber. And then that way, when the plumber comes in and tells them, hey, I can do it for $700, you know they're screwing you over and doing something wrong, or you know, putting a used one in or something. Or if they tell you, you know, it's going to be $6,000, because, and then that's way out astronomically high. But educate your customers. Educate your potential customers. And if it's an easy fix that can be done very quickly and very easily, help them out with that, because then they may say, you know, their friend goes, yeah, I'm having trouble with my water heater. Oh my God, you need to check out water heater, thewaterheaterguy.com, and you need to go check him out because he's got an article. You may be able to fix that yourself and save yourself a ton of money. If not, man, he's got a really good thing that explains how to talk to plumbers when you're going to buy one so you don't get burned. Okay, that's another great one. Like, why not do that? Put information out in the hands of your potential customers, your clients, especially for habitual buyers. They're buying stuff all the time anyway. Give them a reason to choose you, right? Give them incentive to make a change in their life and in their buying habits so that they will buy your product, if not out of habit, but out of just sheer desire to keep things easy, right? So habitual buyers are usually easy buyers. They don't want to have to think a lot. They're not super involved in the product category or your brand awareness. They're not super interested in the story about your brand or they just know that they just want bread. Right. I just like sourdough bread. I like really like sourdough bread. I like the way it tastes. That's why I buy sourdough bread. So if it's just for that, give them a reason to buy your sourdough bread. Right. Whether it's, hey, my sourdough has been a sourdough culture for 200 years. Or, hey, it's the best tasting sourdough bread you've ever had. Or, oh, it's the sourest sourdough. Or it's the mildest sourdough. And people have different tastes. So whatever yours is, whatever you're doing, whatever you're selling, be proud of it and tell people about it. Educate them on what your product or your service is and why it's different than everyone else's. And give them a reason to buy your product. So I would really love to hear what some of your products are and what you guys are doing. So jump on over, do me a favor, jump on over to the Facebook group, Grow an Online Business. It is a small group. I'm just kind of getting it up and going. I have not even been posting much stuff in there other than the podcast and kind of what we're doing. I've been touching on that one a little bit. I've also been posting a little bit of stuff in the Broken Moon Media page and posting on there. I've had some other things going, so I've been a little bit slower on the upload of new content on there. Plus, it's still jumping around trying to find its voice online, so I'm going to wait for that website to mature a little bit more so that it kind of ripens and becomes, kind of finds its place on the internet, and then I'm going to help it grow from that point. So if you wouldn't mind, jump into the group. I'm very much more active on the Facebook group than I am on the, let's say, newsletter. I have not even sent out any newsletters. I apologize. So if you've signed up for the newsletter, I've noticed that there's been a pretty good a small little bump, a little increase in the newsletter signups. I will be posting some stuff and putting it in the newsletter. I haven't as of yet, so don't get discouraged. There will be some things coming very soon. We've got some things in the works for this year, for season three, when we get to that season three in the podcast. So I'm pretty much going to finish up the four-part series on consumer behavior, and then we will be starting season three and kicking that off. So I'm hoping to kick it off and start doing some interviews, so we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, guys, I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate you sharing this podcast, and I look forward to talking to you again. I'll see you next week.